Amen. All right. I want to talk to you today. The topic of my message is called, It's How You Finish. Someone look at your neighbor and tell them today, it's how you finish. Oh, come on. That was a little passive this morning. I'm going to be preaching a little bit today. I want to stir you up a little bit. So come on, look at that neighbor and say it with some passion, with some focus, with some intensity, and tell them, it's how you finish. There we go. All right, good. That's good. We're stirring things up a little bit. You know, this month, our series is just called the Summer Mixtape Series, and it's because we're just going to have some different messages from different people coming throughout this month. And so I'm still glad to be jumping in for at least a couple of the messages. And as I was praying about what to talk to you about today, it's really going to be a standalone message. But it's something that actually the Lord's been talking to me a lot and has really been stirring in my heart over this past season. And I felt a release just to share it with us as a church family. You know, what it really centers around is this whole concept of finishing well in regards to our faith. So I'm titling this message, It's How You Finish. But it's this element of finishing well. And, you know, a lot of times we will talk about finishing well as it comes to serving God. You know, one of my favorite verses, one of my life verses is David, serve the purposes of God in his generation. And you know, if you're in this church family, we're talking often about our purpose and serving God's purposes. And I'm challenging and encouraging you to serve God. And that's very appropriate. That's very important. But there's another side to this that the Lord has just been talking about, and a couple circumstances have really brought to my attention. It's important that we finish well in our service to God. But I want to talk to you a little bit more today about the angle of finishing well in our faith or our belief in God. And our faith or belief in the scriptures. Our faith or our belief in just what God has taught us and what God is doing in our lives. I want to talk about finishing well in your faith. You know, I've become more aware and just a couple conversations I've had, a couple things that have been a little bit more prevalent in the news over this last season, my heart has been very aware and it's been grieved of people who are leaving the faith. People are walking away from Christ. People are walking away from Christianity. And let me be really clear this morning. This is not a reactionary message to something that's been happening in our church or something that I'm really, you know, upset about. And I'm just going to kind of slide it into a message. It's not about that at all. Actually, I'm very happy with the spiritual growth and the faith in our church family. But I still feel like there's this thing that the Lord's alerting me to more. I believe it's one of the enemy's main strategies today. But it's really in either pulling people, and especially in, if I could say, the millennial generation and younger people, doesn't only affect millennials, but either pulling us away from our faith or people moving into what I said is a different version of faith, if I could call it that. It still looks like Christianity on the outside. It still looks like Christianity at first glance. But once you dig a little deeper, you realize, man, this person, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe in salvation. It looks good. It still looks like Christianity. But it's really not faith in the scriptures. And so this has really been weighing on my heart. I've been praying about it. I've been talking to the Lord about it. I've been doing a little bit more research and doing a little bit more study because I do believe it's one of the challenges that we're facing. Every season, there's different strategies the enemy's and different challenges. But there's a challenge of getting people to leave the faith or getting people to leave a Bible faith and what the Bible teaches. And so one of my prayers, to be honest with you, in my season, I prayed more in this season than ever before. And I prayed and I've prayed, God, help me to finish strong in my faith. Help my family to finish strong in our faith. God, help our church family to finish strong in our faith. And so in this message today, I just want to take some time to encourage you in finishing strong. Someone look at your neighbor this morning and tell them, finish strong. Now, let's go to the scriptures, because I actually was thinking about, I don't think I've ever quite preached a message on this, and I've never quite talked about it this way, but I actually, there's going to be a lot of scriptures we're going to go to. And I want to talk to you about, first of all, I want to talk to you about that we develop an urgency to finish strong in our faith. You know, I think for a lot of us, they're probably just as, I know there's been times for me, there's an assumption, of course I always believe in the Bible. Of course I always believe in God. Of course I'm going to believe. But the Bible actually cautions us about this area. Let me read to you some verses. Matthew 24, 9-14. This is from the Passion Translation. It's talking about the last days. It says, you can expect to be persecuted, even killed, for you'll be hated by all nations because of your love for me. Interestingly enough, we're in a day now where they're saying, many people are saying persecution against Christians around the world is that's the highest it's ever been. And they're saying that this last year, over 4,000 people around the world were killed for their faith. And there's probably that's probably a low estimate of how many were killed. There were something like 1,800 churches and Christian buildings were attacked. There was over 4,000 to 5,000 people imprisoned falsely for their faith around the world. I mean, this is just one stat base. There's literally, I think, 150 countries in this world right now where Christians are restricted in one way or another from following God, from practicing their faith. We're seeing it happen even here, not to some of those degrees, but even in our nations. Verse 10 says, "Then many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many blind prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. But keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance." Another translation says, "But endure to the end." Verse 14 says, "Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after this, the end of the age will come." And so it's amazing. We see that there's a time, and I believe that this is really indicative of a time we live in now where there's going to be a great glory, but there's also going to be battles and challenges that we face. And this verse is sobering to me because it says that there will be many people who stop following Christ and who fall away. It says there will be people, there will be lying prophets who will rise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. What's interesting about me is the fact that it says lying prophets suggests to me that these lying prophets still appear Christian. Right? It didn't say there will be leaders of other religions or other beliefs of thoughts. There's this packaging that's still going to appear Christian, but it's really deception that's pulling people away. That there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. But it says, but you need to keep this hope to the end, or you need to endure to the end. Now, you know, when I've often read this passage, I've kind of thought about, like, yeah, those people who are going to fall away. Those people who are going to be deceived. Yeah, those people whose hearts are going to grow cold. But the Lord flipped it and said, well, don't just think about those people. Why not be humble and prayerful about yourself? Right? If it says many will fall away, then be humble and prayerful. And I'm not saying about having like this expectation or this fear. I'm not talking about being fear-based because God's never called us to live in fear, but he's called us to live in faith. But I believe there's a challenge where I want to pray and I want to say, Lord, with your help, I'm never going to be one who falls away. Right? Like, well, we can say, oh, there'll be somebody else who'll be deceived by a lying prophet. But, you know, there can be a little bit of arrogance in that, right? Because, oh, yeah, that person, or sometimes, you know, yeah, that church, or those people who listen to that television preacher that I don't like very much. And God says, yeah, don't worry about all that right now. Why don't you pray and just ask God for a grace in your life so that you would never fall into that? Right? Not in a fear-based mindset. Let me be very clear. I'm not talking about being fearful, but I'm talking about being humble. And if the Bible says that it can happen to many people, then my prayer before God says, God, let me be someone who always stays centered and grounded in truth. Right? It says that, and this way there will be many whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. You know, it talks about this in Ephesians. And again, we say, oh yeah, you know, those lukewarm people. Boy, if God says to you, well, what about your lukewarmness? Is your heart burning with passion for God and for people, or has it grown cold? Right? It's letting God speak to us about these things and be all, but we need to endure to the end. Someone say endure to the end. That language suggests to me, anyone, endurance is a tough word. Endurance is something that means it's not going to always be easy. There will be challenges. There's things you got to push through, but you just got to make a decision. I'm going to keep going. You just got to make a decision that I'm going to push through this. Right? And there's something to be said for the power of endurance in our walk with God. But what I want to challenge this morning, we're going to look at a few more verses. But, you know, maybe we should not point the finger at somebody else. But maybe we should go before God and say, God, is there seeds of falling away that have started to come into my heart? God, is there false teaching that I have a deception I've fallen to? Because here's the kicker with the deception. The kicker with the deception is you don't know you're deceived. The kicker with the deception is it looks good until the Holy Spirit pulls back the veil and says, no, this isn't what my word teaches. This isn't a right mixture of things. There's a deception where when sin and lawlessness, because of sin and lawlessness, in other words, because of me allowing sin to start to come into my life, because of me tolerating certain things where there used to be a burning passion for Jesus, my heart has grown cold. And so, I know this is more sobering today. This isn't necessarily a jump up and shout and run around the building. Not that most of us do that either way anyways. But you know what I mean? It's there's a sobering to it. But the Bible says that we need to be encouraged, but we also need to be challenged with different things like this. Let's look at a few more verses. Hebrews 3, 12 to 14 says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Now this verse could tie right into our last month's topic, talking about gathering together. But I wonder, as he's talking to brothers and sisters, which means he's speaking to believers. And he said, even in us, we've got to be watchful, because there can be an unbelieving, evil heart that comes into us. And it says that we can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It can lead us to fall away from the living God. See, my passion in this is I don't want to see anyone fall away from the living God. I don't want to see anyone in this church family fall away from the living God. But the Bible is very clear that we each have to take ownership of that so we do not have that happen to us. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 says this, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. Now that sounds really kind of spooky and crazy and, you know, deceitful in the teaching of demons and deceitful spirits. It's kind of like, ooh. You know what it is? It's just the enemy is smart. The enemy's been deceiving people for a long time. And one of the things the enemy does is that there's demonic focuses on creating teachings or creating doctrines or mindsets that are not in line with the scriptures. But at first glance, they look like they are. At first glance, they will pull you away. It looks good, but underneath it's poison. It'll pull you away. And so in other words, there's alertness that needs to be in our heart. And there's alertness that God wants to put inside of us. What I believe matters. That I'm solid in the scriptures matter. Revelation 3 verse 11, Jesus says, I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Can you imagine getting to heaven and realizing your crown has been seized? Right? The scripture says we need to be cautious about that. I don't know about you. I don't want that to happen. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. See, what I believe the apostle is denoting this is that there can be a arrogance that can come into our lives. There can be a complacency where we're no longer passionate for God, passionate for truth, letting God really speak to us and move in us. And there can be an arrogance that says, I'm good. I'm fine. Almost like Peter. Jesus, I'll never deny you. I'll never turn my back on you. And yet the Bible says, if you get in this, you know, it'll never happen to me. There can never be a price. It says, no, hey, take heed. If you think you're good in your own strength, take heed. In other words, another verse that I've referenced here, be sober and alert, for your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. But see, there's something very powerful at stake in this. 1 Timothy 4 verse 3, 4 says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Guys, and I just want to bring an encouragement and a challenge today. There is so much of this happening today. There are so many people out there that rather than there being sound teaching of the Word of God, I love the internet and I love the proliferation of teaching. I love that we can get the Word out more than ever before. But there is more and more of this is happening where people, instead of us sticking with what the Scriptures say, they are finding a teacher, they're finding a blogger, they're finding a writer, they're finding someone who's on Instagram who says what they want to hear, who says what is popular in our culture right now, rather than being true to the Word of God. And the Bible actually says that people will assemble and they kind of build around them people who say what they want to hear instead of having a passion and saying, no, we need the truth of the Scriptures, whether it's easy or hard, whether it's popular or it's unpopular. And the key about this is we can fall into this trap if we're not cautious. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Now, again, I could spend an entire message just unpackaging some of these verses. What I want to do is I want to bring these parts of the Bible to our attention. When was the last time you sat down and examined your Christianity and said, where is my faith at right now? Right? Like, not again in a fearful way, not in a condemning way, but in an honest way. Like, there's such a passion in me right now, guys, for all of us to grow further in God and to go forward. When was the last time you sat down and you actually put your Christianity to the test? And you actually said, am I really obeying God in my life? Do I really have a life of worship? Am I honoring God with my finances? Am I really living for Jesus Christ right now? And again, not in a condemning way, but in a way of humility that just says, God, I want to live fully for you. And I am going to examine myself. I'm going to put myself to the test. You know why? Why do you do that? Why do you have to get examinations before you get your driver's license? Or examinations before you become a doctor? Or examinations before you become a lawyer? Or examinations of your house before it is deemed fit to live in? Why? Because if something is never examined, if something is never tested, if something is never challenged, it can be faulty. You can totally not be ready, but you will never know because it was never examined. But see, so many of us, have we ever sat down and examined our faith and said, am I really living for Christ? Okay, well, let me see. My church attendance is inconsistent. I don't tithe. I don't really read my Bible. I don't pray very much. I never share my faith with others. I've got a lot of hidden sins going in my life that I'm honest, I really don't care about. You look at all that. What kind of Christianity? You got to say, guys, what do I have here? What's going on with my life if that's where I'm at? And it's examining our faith, because here's what happens is if I've got a loose, light, easy, shallow faith, no commitment, no discipleship, no sacrifice, then when the storms come, when the time comes to stand for Christ, I'm not going to be able to do it because I never prepared myself. I never got myself ready. It's awful quiet in the church this morning. That's okay. Sometimes we need to be quiet. It's like going to the Bible. Like, I was kind of reading this. It's going, man, I need to examine my faith more often. And I need to celebrate the good things, but I also need to humbly ask God to help me grow where I need to grow. But when was the last time you examined your faith? 1 Timothy 5:15 says, for some have already strayed after Satan. Again, I know these are not like the most exciting verses in the world, but this is talking about believers. If you don't stay true to Jesus Christ, if you don't stay on point with him, you can stray after Satan. You can get pulled away. You can end up somewhere you never intended to be because you weren't examining your faith. You weren't regularly gathering and encouraging one another. You started to buy into deception. You got teaching that was just more comfortable for you. See, here's part of what happens is I want to live in a certain area of sin, or I want to do something a certain way. And so I start finding, even consciously or subconsciously, teaching that affirms that I can do that when it's very plain in the Scriptures that I shouldn't. But I don't want you to stray after Satan, guys. I don't want anybody to stray after Satan. But I can't get in you and live your Christian life for you. You've got to say, okay, God, I mean, I don't know you, but these verses I want to pray, and I want to say, God, help me to never stray after Satan. God, help me to examine myself to make sure I'm in the faith. Show me how to test my faith that I can move forward in you. God, if I get arrogant, if I get cocky, if I get self-righteous, and I just get thinking, I've got it all together, God, catch me in that, God, because I want to take heed lest I fall. See, there's this place of again, not negativity, not fear, but a humble prayerfulness that says, hey, it could happen to me. So with Jesus' help, it's not, because I'm always going to stay close to the fire. I'm always going to be pursuing God. God, show me if I've bought into deception in certain areas of my life. Like, just take it off me, Lord.
Now, that was interesting. John 6:6:6. Says this, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Ouch, I don't want to be that disciple. I don't want to be a disciple who walks with Jesus for a certain season of my life, but then somewhere along the way turns back and doesn't walk with him anymore. I don't want to be someone who was so on fire for a certain season of my life, but then somewhere along the way, something gets in there and I turn back and I no longer walk with Jesus. You know, it's interesting because sometimes we'll look at this and say, oh man, what were they thinking? How could they walk away from Jesus? Don't they know what they were doing? But yet it's so blinding for us that it's so easy for us to do the same thing. You can still come to church but no longer walk with Jesus. You can still longer espouse a Christian theology but no longer walk with Jesus. So I know this is sobering. I know this is intense, you know, the question, but it's important. And this is part of my job as a pastor. Part of my job is to encourage you, to challenge you, to build you up, but it's also to warn. And I'm not preaching this today because I believe that a whole bunch of us are falling away or something. But you know what? I feel like this is part of our spiritual diet we need to have. We need to be reminded at key points along the journey to stay humble, to stay hungry, to stay focused on God, to stay in a place of prayer and say, God, help me, because there will be attacks that come against your faith. There will be pressures that come against your faith. Even today, more than ever, in our culture right now, there's things that are coming to try and get us to deny parts of the scriptures, to get us to deny things that the Bible teaches us, and it can be couched nicely, and there's going to be false prophets that are going to rise and say, no, this is okay. Oh, no, this isn't that big of a deal. Oh, no, the Bible doesn't really mean that. You don't need to follow the whole Bible. Just follow Jesus. Just do this. Just do that. There's going to be all this stuff that comes. There will be deceptions, and it's a people who have a heart for God, who have a heart to say, I want to endure to the end, that will fight through whatever we need to fight through, because I want to be standing on that day ready to stand before God, not being one who walked away. The question I have for all of us to consider this morning is, will you and I be those who endure to the end? Or will we be those who turn back and no longer walk with him? No, my prayer is that everyone else would like jump up and say, I'm going to walk with him. I'm never going to deny him. I'm never going to turn away. I'm not going to do it. But here's my question. How do you know? How do we know? You know, I want to prod a bit. I want to stir you a little bit today, because if some of you are kind of getting down that path, I want to get your attention today. I want to get your attention. How do you know for sure? I don't want to just assume it. I don't want to be just like, well, you know, because I'm just not going to. I mean, it's not like, guys, like there would be attacks and things that come to try and get us to move away. Right? And sometimes it may be a battle that we face. Some of us are down this road and we don't even know it. So let me say this. The question then becomes, well, how do I set myself up to endure to the end or finish strong? So how do I know? And I want to encourage you really quickly in four things that you and I can do to make sure we are we're building that foundation for our faith. Four things that you can do. These are not the only four things. This is not a comprehensive list, but just four things I want to encourage you in today. It's going to come from Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. And it says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So I want to encourage you really quick. Four things that are characteristics of those who are going to endure to the end. First and foremost, everyone say number one. To finish strong, those who finish strong are those who hear the word of God. Everyone say, hear the word. Let me ask you this today. Are you regularly in the word of God? Guys, in these days that we live in the days that are coming, a light, slack attitude and approach to the scriptures is not going to cut it. You cannot live off your pastor's knowledge of the word of God. You cannot live off your connection leader's knowledge of the word of God. You can't live off your mama's knowledge of the word of God, your father's knowledge of the word of God, your spouse's knowledge of the word of God. You've got to be in the word of God for yourself. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is food and sustenance for us. And if you are on a spiritual starvation diet because you do not have a strong discipline of being in the word of God, listening to the word of God, digging deep in the word of God, you are not going to have the strength to endure to the end. Or if you do, by the grace of God, it's going to be because somebody prayed you through or you barely crawled through the end. But people endure the end. Number one are people who are serious about the word of God. It's people who are serious about real intimacy with God. See, what I've noticed a lot when I'm talking and dialogue and interacting with people, or I'm reading about people who've fallen away from their faith, one of the things that starts to shine through is there was never a real strong intimacy with God. There was church attendance. There was a belief. And I'm not trying to paint everybody with the same brush, but I promise you this. When you get into the Word of God, when you get into really knowing God, because the Word of God is the foundation for intimacy with God, when you're in the Word of God, there is a depth and a history to your faith. And you know what? I can't explain every doctrinal challenge every single time it comes up. I can't explain why every single prayer request maybe isn't answered in certain moments. I don't have all the answers for everything because I'm learning and I'm growing, but I can tell you this, I know God, and I've walked with God, and I'm going deeper in my relationship with God, and that is the foundation that keeps me strong. And so even if I go through a battle or a challenge or something comes, there's this history with God that I could never deny because I've gone deep with Him, because I've sat with Him, because I've read His Word, because I've prayed, because when I've gone through difficult seasons of my life, I've known His presence has been there with me, and because I've got that personal history with God, even when storms come and even when challenges come, I can stand firm. But it starts with being deep in the Word of God. And I'm coming strong this morning, but please hear my love in this. You've got to go into the Scriptures. You can't depend off a light faith. You can't depend off, you don't even know what you believe. You don't know why you believe. You don't even know what the Bible says about salvation. You don't know what the Bible teaches about different things. You've got to take time. And I know some of it isn't the most glamorous and the most sexy things to study and all this stuff, but you've got to say, I'm going to be someone who is in the Word of God, who knows what I believe, who knows why I believe it, who asks questions, who works through stuff and has a strong faith and understand the Scriptures. If I don't know what I believe and why, and I haven't spent time in the Scriptures, of course I'm easy to deceive. All someone has to do is come and throw a couple Scriptures at me that look like they piece together, pull a couple verses out of nowhere that totally out of context. I don't know because I've never read it myself. I'm not hitting you guys too hard today, am I? Right? It's we got to be people of the Word. Someone say, I'm a person of the Word. Is our faith shallow and based mostly on the faith of others, or is there depth to it? How real is your faith? So number one, we need to hear the word. Number two, everyone say number two. We need to obey the word of God. So number one, I need to hear the word of God because I cannot obey a word I've never heard. I cannot obey a word that I've never wrestled with. And guys, I'm talking about, and this is just stirring in my heart, this is part of what we're going to go into in this new ministry year. I want us to go deeper in the Word of God. And yeah, I want us to ask the hard questions, to work through some of the doubts, to work through some things so you get a firm foundation in what you believe and why. But then beyond just hearing the Word of God, I've got to make a radical commitment that I'm going to obey the Word of God. Everyone say, I'm going to obey. We need to make sure that we don't just hear God's word, but we obey it. That's why this passage says, the one who builds on the rock is one who hears and obeys the teachings of Christ. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. These verses should like light up at us. And if we're going to, see, and this is how we start to examine our faith. Right? So instead of being sitting here saying, okay, 10:42, hopefully pastor's done soon. I got this to do today. I got that to do. It's going, okay, Lord, speak to me. Am I hearing but not obeying? And, you know, real humility says, because all of us got some areas we're still hearing and not obeying. God, show me today an area I can start to obey your word that I have not been obeying up to this point. Right? That's the humility that comes in. Again, not fear. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not taking away from those things. But it's a heart that says, God, show me where I'm not obeying. Because here's the problem, guys. When we get used to hearing but not obeying, then comes deception. And when you're in deception, you think you're good. Can I give you an example? Can I maybe step on a couple toes with this example if it's necessary? You just smile and nod, so pastor, okay, or you might just hide your toes on me or something like that. A little while ago, I threw a question up on Facebook regarding a show out there that was called Game of Thrones. Some of you are very familiar with Game of Thrones. Some of you are not at all. It is a show that is filled with a lot of things that go totally against the scripture. Interesting story, well acted, but there is gross nudity, gross violence, a whole bunch of other stuff happens. So I threw up a scripture. I just said on Facebook, I knew I was going to get myself into a little bit of trouble with it, but I just said, how does a Christian justify scripturally watching this show? And I set off a firestorm. I got more comments on that than I've ever gotten on anything I've ever had. I had a lot of people supporting me. I had some people who definitely didn't support me. I had a lot of dialogue going back and forth. But you know what I noticed in the middle of this? And I was very intentional about this. I followed up with a video. I thought it was very, I had some good conversations with people about some different things. There was not one person that answered me scripturally. There was no, and guys, if we're going to be people of the word, there's, and the reason was because you couldn't answer. Like, there's no way scripturally. But what happens is, there was all kinds of rationales, and this is where I'm stepping on toes, because maybe one of those people who saw that post just said, I'm just going to scroll past that. Pastor's getting in my mix a little bit too much today. Pastor is just getting a little legalistic right now or whatever else. You kind of scroll past it. I'm pleading with you just to work with me on this right now. Is the scripture is very clear. But what happens is if I get used to hearing the word but never obeying the word, then I start to get, and well, you know, this is people's calling. It wasn't used in this, but this is kind of the common line that comes to people. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit will just convict me. If you've moved into deception, you no longer hear the Holy Spirit in that area unless you have a breakthrough moment. But see, it was like, guys, like, do we live according to the Bible? Right? And if I can say this, it's going to be very strong. But if we're not going to live according to the Bible, then why don't we just throw the entire thing out and just go live the way we want to live? But let's not pretend we're living according to the Bible when we're not living according to the Bible. And when we're not living according to the Bible, let's not pretend it when we're not doing it, because then we fall into deception and then we lead other people into deception and there's no foundation to our faith. We've got to be people who say, God, I want to obey. And I'm not preaching to you today as a perfect person. I'm here saying, God, show me where I'm not obeying, God. Because I want to walk in the fullness of what you have. I want to be one who endures to the end. But what I've noticed is that there's some things, kind of reading, dialoguing. People get away from the scriptures. They don't know the scriptures. And then they get really used to just not obeying even the scriptures they know. And then they get into deception. So how do we think we're going to endure to the end? Right? Like, if I take one scripture and say, well, I'm not going to obey that scripture, why would we obey others? Like, when push really comes to shove. When the pressure hits home. If we've developed a mindset in our life that I don't, right? Like, you guys get my heart on that? Like, if we've developed a mindset that says, well, I don't really need to obey that, and we don't really need that. I didn't even bother to read that one, so I don't even know I'm supposed to obey that. You know, like, you know, it's just all that. Then why, what strength will we have to stand? So everyone say, hear the word. Everyone say, obey the word. Really quick here, number three. Stick with Jesus even when people and church let them down. If you dig deeper into the story of someone who leaves the faith, you will often find that people or church has let them down and they've become hurt and offended. Now, I am in no meaning trying to minimize the hurt that some people have gone through from church or from people. There's been some horrific things. I'm not trying to just, whatever. Yeah, it's sad. It breaks my heart. But sometimes I'll talk with people on what they experienced in church, the judgments, the way they were let down by leaders, the way they were hurt by people. And maybe some of you in here have gone through that. And I'm truly sorry. As a leader in the body of Christ, I just say to you, even sorry that you had to go through that. But can I just in the middle of this ask you this? Because church stuff's going to happen. People stuff's going to happen. But why would I leave Jesus for something he never did? Right? And I understand the dynamics of what happens, but why would I leave Jesus? Why would I leave my faith? And a lot of times, I'll tell you what happens, it's because I never really got it for myself. The church said that. The pastor said that. The people said that. So when the church or the pastor hurts me, I start to doubt everything I believe because I never moved to the place of, no, this has become mine. I've heard the Father say, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. I've not just what men say who Jesus is, but like Peter, I had a revelation, which is what Jesus said that the church would be built on. I've had a revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when I know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, it doesn't matter what anybody else does to me. Why would I let that pull me away from the Son of the living God? I might have to process a bit, and it might be hard in church for a while. We talked about that quote, no church is perfect. You're never going to find one. Get involved in an imperfect church and give your best to help make it better. But don't allow, and if you're in this place where because of hurt, and I understand there's some terrible things that have happened, and I'm sorry to anyone listening to me for who those things have happened, but I'm pleading with you today. Don't turn your back on Christ because of what one of his imperfect followers did or didn't do. And set that in your heart. And go deep in your faith so you know you're not just believing because someone else said it. It's not just because I said it. It's not just because Pastor Sharon said it. It's not just because someone else said it. It's like, I've walked in revelation. This is mine. I've owned it. Because when I've owned it, the devil can't take it away. But if I just believe somebody else's faith, if that person fails, then what do I have to stand on? Amen? And so we stick with Jesus even when people are church. Let us know if Justin wants to back me up. Even as my brother was cracking on me last week, we are going to land this plane. Number four, stand firm in the middle of storms. People who finish strong are those who stand firm in perfect storms. Another key ingredient for people falling away often is a storm they face in their life, a tragedy they face, a prayer that wasn't answered, a difficult circumstance they go through. They hit a storm. Now, again, I'll say this again. I do not in any way mean to minimize painful experiences that people have gone through. I'm not trying to minimize that. I've been through some stuff. We've all been through stuff. There's been people who've gone through some horrific life circumstances. I'm not minimizing that, but can I ask you this? What Bible did you read that said that life was going to be perfect? What Bible did we read that said we would never face or a trial or a difficulty? Right? And part of it is resetting ourselves. And here's what it really is. We have to be very cautious that we don't approach God with a transactional mindset. God, I'm going to follow you as long as you do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. Right? It's kind of like you sign a contract with a company and you're going to do this and this and this for me and I'll give you my business if you do this and this. But if you don't keep your end of the bargain, I'm out. Rogers, I'm going to go to Bell. Or if I don't like either of you, I'm going to TELUS. Right? Because you didn't keep your end of the contract. And more often than we realize, and this is something I've just been chewing on quite a bit. Listen, God promised us many things. But are you there for the promises or are you there for the promiser? And even if a promise doesn't seem like it happened the way you thought or as quickly as you thought or that spouse hasn't shown up in the season you expected them to show up in or this happened or that, is that what your faith is really about? Or is your faith really about the living God and walking in relationship with him? Is your faith really about giving your life to him? Is your faith really about recognizing you saved me for all of eternity and even if you didn't do another thing in my life, I still would thank you forever for all that you saved me for? And so
I'm thankful for all the benefits of salvation. I'm thankful for those things, but I am not in a transactional mindset. You've already given me your son. You've already given me everything. And if something doesn't go the way I thought it was going to go, or I go through a tragedy in my life, or I go through something difficult, yeah, it'll be hard. And yeah, I'll have to process. And yeah, I'll have to run to your feet and get you to heal me. But I would never consider walking away from you. I would never consider leaving my relationship with you. Why? Because I'm not here for what I'm going to get. I'm here for you. And if I don't understand something, okay, I'll pray and I'll journey and I'll come to a place of understanding. But I'm okay with a little bit of mystery. I'm okay with walking a journey out with you, God, because I'm here for you, not just what you can do for me. You get my heart on that, guys? Right? Like, and again, I'm not minimizing the pain of that journey, because I know when you go through some real hard things sometimes, and sometimes it has to do with some theology issues. Sometimes it has to do with our picture of God. You know, like sometimes there's been wrong teaching of the character of God. Like, God's just in control of every little thing in our lives. Well, if God's in control of every little thing in my life, and then 2006 we have a miscarriage, and my father-in-law dies within 4 months of each other, I'm going, okay, God, I'm not really liking the way you're controlling my life right now. But here's the problem, that God doesn't operate that way. That's not how his sovereignty plays out. You know, you ever heard someone say, well, God will never give you more than you can bear? Sounds good, but it's not in the Bible. That's why we got to know the scriptures. It's not there. So you've been bearing stuff. You're thinking, God, I can't bear this. Why? But you said they're more than bear. No, no, listen. That's not what God said. That's not what the Bible says. God's not giving to you. That's the thief who's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you think it's God, then of course you're going to consider walking away. Why would you do this to me, God? Why would you make this happen? God's going, I didn't. We live in a fallen world. I'm not the problem. I'm the answer. I'm here for you. But see, it's we got to be in the Word, and we got to obey the Word. And then we got to make sure we don't blame Jesus for what an imperfect person does. We stick with Jesus. And then what we got to do is we got to say, okay, I'm going to stand firm in a storm. You know, it's amazing. And we'll just finish with this. The two people in this parable that Jesus talked about, both of their houses look good. Both their Christianities look good. They both showed up at church. They both worshiped. They both put something in the offering. They both looked good, but it was the storm that came. It revealed, was there any foundation? And my prayer, my challenge, my encouragement for us today is, where's the foundation, guys? Where's the foundation in your hearts? And would you join me in praying and saying, God, help me to dig a deeper foundation. God, help me to be firm in my foundation. God, help me to go even deeper, because there's a lot you've called us to. But I want to be someone who endures to the end. I want to be someone who stands firm. I want to be someone who encourages others to endure to the end. And that together we'd be those who stand with Jesus, who stand with what Jesus said, who stand with who Jesus is. And though the world may fall away, we'd be those who still stand with him, that we would pray that we would be those people. Would you guys join me in that prayer today? If your heart is to join me in that prayer today, and I do, and please, if you're kind of wrestling with it, like, as I know this is one of those altar calls that if you don't stand up, you look bad, right? Because it's kind of like, everybody stand, they're like, ooh, I wonder why they're not standing up. Oh, backslider. You know, no, I don't want any of that, all right? But this is a holy moment before God. I want to pray for you as we close. But if your heart is to join me in this, because I'm already standing, and I'm not just saying because I'm preaching, I'm saying because I'm saying, God, I want to be someone who stands with Jesus no matter what. And I need your help to do it. And I want to be a church family that stands with Jesus no matter what. But we need your help to do it. If you want to join me in that prayer, just stand to your feet wherever you are right now. Now let's just raise our hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're standing here because we've seen in your scripture some of these warnings and these cautions. We've also been encouraged in things we need to do to stand firm. And I pray, God, that you'll help each one of us to be those who stand with Jesus, to be each one of those who stand with Jesus no matter what. God, that we will be faithful witnesses, even if the world is screaming at us, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that, you're out of touch, you're on the wrong side of history, whatever. We'll be those who say, I'm going to be a faithful witness to Jesus. I'm going to be a faithful witness to the scriptures. I'm going to be a faithful witness to who God has called us to be. And God, we need your help and your grace to do this. And so we thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your grace. In the name of Jesus, I just speak over everyone. God, show us where there's areas of deception. Show us where there's areas of sin so we can repent. Convict us. Encourage us. Just help us to learn to test our faith and examine ourselves even more. And I just pray that each one of us will be those who don't just start well, but who finish well in the name of Jesus. And everyone who agreed with me this morning said, amen.